This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
This is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Mark Cox on a little fishing excursion, He's in Alaska fishing, doing some fly fishing, and so we wish him well and can't wait to hear about that trip. You know, one of the thorns in my side about the assassination attempt of Donald J. Trump in Butler, Pennsylvania, is that shortly after that, of course, it was all over the news. It was all over everything. And then shortly after that, when Joe Biden stepped out of the race, that took over the news cycle. Then Kamala has been, you know, pushing to be the next president of the United States, and that took over the news cycle. And I know that we live in a very fast news cycle world. It's every 10 minutes as opposed to it used to be every 24 hours. But I've been really paying attention to the information of the hearings that have been going on with the Congress and the Senate. They've done a great job, you know, trying to get information out of the Secret Service and the FBI and even the local law enforcement, if you saw that hearing. And so I've been striving to get somebody that is maybe in the know and has a good opinion that we can trust. And I found one. I've actually reached out to several people, and a lot of them said, man, I can't do it publicly. I can't tell you publicly. Although people are still talking about it, not in the mainstream media. Again, we almost had an assassination of a former president and possibly the next president. So I want to get a perspective from a guy who has a lot of clout in the world. He is an author of a book called In the Shadow of Swords. Of course, when you arrive in St. Louis, if you're driving into St. Louis, you see that archway of, you know, the Gateway Arch. It just, we're in the shadow of the Gateway Arch. Well, if you remember images from Baghdad, the images of those giant swords, that was a pathway to get into Baghdad, the capital. And so the author of that book is a gentleman named D.W. Wilbur, and he served as a police officer in St. Louis County for about 12 years. He also worked as a career intelligence officer for about 8 years, then did contract work for the government and special operations, and some work alongside, if not in, the CIA. D.W., welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. I'm really looking forward to your perspective on this near catastrophic tragedy. It was a tragedy, losing the life and injuring other people and injuring a former president. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
I gotta, you know, everybody knows where they were. Well, at least it's one of those moments. Where were you when this happened, when Elvis died, or, you know, when the shuttle went down? I knew where I was exactly, and I'll never forget it. Where were you when you learned of President Trump being shot at and shot?
I was actually just fiddling around the house trying to get a few chores done, and had the news on, and it caught my eye, and I'm like, holy cow. Or holy expletive. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, and it was certainly a shock.
I wanted to get your take because I've been going down a lot of rabbit holes, I'll be honest with you, with this, you know, trying to, you know, listen to audio clips of the gunfire. One, and a couple of theories I'll throw at you if you've heard them or not, and what you think of them, would be that there were possibly three guns, not just the sniper, the counter sniper, but somebody said that there might have been a third firearm in the audio recording you could tell. Do you have a perspective on that at all?
You know, I'm old enough to remember the assassination of John Kennedy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And President Kennedy. And in the countless investigations that that have been done following that, there supposedly was a audio recording that was captured from a motorcycle cop in Dallas whose microphone was locked on or something of that nature. I can't remember specifically anymore. But he picked up, you know, this audio picked up what sounded like additional shots. Well, in the years since then and that, they've done acoustic investigation and everything into, you know, the technology has has improved and they've pretty much discounted that now. I think that, you know, a lot of and anybody that's done shooting, I mean, obviously this is a Second Amendment radio and that, so
that's right.
The audience out there certainly knows, you know, how when you're out shooting that sounds can echo depending on, you know, where you're shooting at. And, you know, I think that that's probably what's going to be determined. But I again, it's just my own personal experience and opinion as I'm inclined to think that it was probably just the two shooters
okay.
that were involved. The attempted assassin and the Secret Service counter sniper.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of talk about timing. How long did they know about the guy? We know that. How long, you know, were they imminent danger? You know, you see the one video where the horse walks by with the Trump flag. I'm sure you've seen that. And it seems like before the guy says, hey, man, I don't know what's going on, but get small, meaning, you know, take cover kind of thing. There was a lot of time between that and hearing Trump still on the stage. As far as your experience in your long career, do you think they should have had enough time to pull Trump off the stage?
Yeah, I question that to this day. I don't know why. The only answer, and I watched the hearing with the Secret Service acting director back many years ago when I was a police officer. I actually worked a protectee detail once during an election, and they assigned me to a Secret Service agent so that there was that direct communication. I had communication with my department, the people who were on the site of the protectee visit with the Secret Service agent next to me. He was hearing everything that was coming across my radio, and then he was, you know, obviously sharing that through their communications method that they used. So I don't understand why that wasn't going on. This, you know, I have my own personal feelings about what is behind all of this comedy of error.
I know what you mean.
Black comedy, actually, black comedy of errors.
But, yeah, really. It is amazing to me that the situation that's on the ground, you know, there's so many video clips because everybody's got a phone, everybody's got a, you know, a camera in their hand, so there's so many different videos and still emerging. I wanted to ask you, by the way, our guest D.W. Wilbur, he's a former undercover employee of the CIA. What are the chances that it's an inside job, that it was a politically motivated, you know, there's the BlackRock connection. Any thoughts on either crooks or anything like that? And again, we're just shaking stuff out here. We're just looking for answers.
I'm not much of a conspiracy theorist. I think it's important that we maintain a healthy skepticism about our government.
Good advice.
You know, certainly I know, you know, from my experience with the CIA that in the years past, the distant past, the CIA has done some really stupid stuff. Okay. The thing that people don't understand or don't, maybe they're not aware of is the fact that most of the stupid things that the CIA did back in the 60s and the early 70s and that were under the direct orders of the President of the United States, you know, and when the commander in chief comes to you and gives you marching orders, you salute and say three bags full and you do your best to try to carry it out.
That's
and,
right.
So, you know, so those are, I think, some things that people need to recognize and understand, that the CIA is not this rogue agency that's out there doing all kinds of crazy stuff. That being said, there certainly is a level of politics involved in every federal agency, because the leadership generally are political appointees. You know, the CIA director is usually appointed, you know, by the incoming administration. And it's more often than not a career intelligence professional. It is someone who is well known and trusted by the new administration, the new president, and so he appoints them as the CIA director.
Right.
There have been some exceptions in the past, but like I said, you get you know, the leadership of any of these organizations is always political, and then they surround themselves with people that they are comfortable with and that they trust. So your senior leadership is where the problems are in most of these agencies.
Yeah, and it's been reflected and mentioned several times in these hearings. You know, we thank the Secret Service on the ground. We thank the FBI on the ground. I know FBI agents as well. But you're right. It's you know, the leadership could be the issue. I did want to bounce back to the comms thing. When my refrigerator, my high-tech refrigerator, can communicate with me that I'm out of cheese, you would think that Secret Service would be able to communicate no matter what. And they use that as an excuse in one of these hearings that, you know, cell service was down, or, you know, cell service was bad. And one of the senators actually said, you know, some people bring in these mobile units. So I think the communications thing is a bad excuse, certainly concerning this situation. Another theory, DW, another theory is the water tower image. Have you seen there's a short video. It's blurry because it's a distance, and nobody even asked about that. And that's been out in the ether of this whole event. Are you shocked that nobody's asked about that? And what's your opinion about that? Do you think that's just some redneck trying to get a good view?
You know, I don't know. I had heard at one point, and I have not heard anything since, but I had heard at one point that was actually local law enforcement, that somebody was up there. So I don't know. You know, that's one of the problems that I see with this whole situation, is a lack of control, really, of that entire environment.
Yeah.
You know, it is a massive failure. It's hard for me to believe that, you know, that the attempt was an inside job. I wouldn't discount it completely because of the nature of our current political environment, but I'm less inclined to believe that than just absolute, just a massive failure. And there's reasons behind that failure, which, you know, is my own personal opinion, you know, on how our government bureaucracy has become so politically correct. And so, you know, I hesitate to use the term woke, because sure, I can't stand it. But,
yeah,
you know, I can't think of another term to call it right now. But, you know, when you're more worried about, like my old, you know, former agency is more concerned about finding opportunities within the intelligence community for transgenders, you know, I'm just like, I smack myself in the forehead, because I'm like, you know, okay, yeah, go ahead, recruit all of them that you want and send them out to meet with Hassan, you know, over in the Middle East, and see how long that meeting lasts. You know,
I'll be honest with you, DW, when I hear about climate change propaganda talking points, I go deaf. I can't even listen to it. It's just maddening sometimes. All right, back to the Butler event. One perspective, and I know a lot of people that are in the shooting sports, guns, you know, gun aficionados, if you will. See, to me, it doesn't seem plausible that the shot would have came from a roof. Let's say that roof was 12 or 14 feet high. Trump is about 10 feet off the ground, I think, approximately. And then the firefighter who was killed is higher than Trump, at least by a couple of feet. And then there's the theory that somebody shot out of the window of the AGR building. Just on trajectory alone, in your experience of firearms, do you see that there's issues with that?
I would have to go there myself and do what the acting director of the Secret Service said he did, is go lay on that roof and just to find out what the perspective was. From the photographs that I've seen and the video on that, I don't have a problem with it, because I think the shooting position and that was high enough up that you know, that those, that trajectory could have occurred. So But again, I'm not a ballistics expert. I'm not a firearms expert in that. I mean, I shoot a lot. I enjoy shooting in that, and I, you know, have my own collection of firearms in that. But I'm certainly not an expert by any means, and I have to defer to others who have that expertise.
Sure. Sure. And maybe that'll, you know, shake out in, you know, this ongoing investigation we keep hearing about. Because your experience, D.W. Wilbur, of international affairs, you know, they've been talking a lot now that, you know, Iran could have been involved because they had already made a threat to several people in public office. Do you think that's possible that they could have got to this 20-year-old kid, Crooks, and manipulated him to do what he ended up doing and dying for?
The Iranians are they have a very capable intelligence service, but they've also been known to do some stupid things in the past, too. And so I'm kind of torn between whether or not they actually could have had some involvement with this kid. Honestly, I find it really difficult to think that any foreign nation or even any opposition group within our own country would rely on this young man, you know, to carry out their plans for him.
That's a good point.
Knowing, you know, that normally a presidential or a protectee visit to some place and that is usually well coordinated and well planned out and everything. In my mind, I would be more inclined to think that they would look for other opportunities, better opportunities to send some 20-year-old kid out with a gun
right
to a rally like that. It stretches the credulity, I think. I don't know.
So we could bring it back closer to home, that if somebody was urging him, maybe somebody within the U.S., I guess you'd consider that a domestic terrorist, if the Crooks and Iran connection isn't made, we've seen, you know, the kid was in a BlackRock commercial. There's a possible image of him with the CEO of BlackRock. Any thoughts on that? I mean, again, there's everything out there, you know, all the way to the point that Trump was never shot, that it was fake and all that. But that connection between Crooks and BlackRock, that seems kind of odd, doesn't it?
Social media is a huge influencer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what do they have? You know, I'm technically challenged, you know, from a different era. But I mean, don't they have people nowadays that make a living as influencers or whatever on social media and everything? I mean, that's how they make a living in that. And so, I mean, they do that because obviously there's, you know, they have success at it. And certainly someone who is already predisposed to a certain way of thinking can be influenced to perhaps act on those feelings. You know, so, yeah, I mean, you know, social media is, I tell you what, I mean, I enjoy social media with my kids and everything. We share photographs because I do a lot of traveling and
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a way for me to keep in touch with my family. But, you know, social media also has a huge downside. And, people hit the share button without even thinking. If they see something on social media that is, you know, that matches a predisposed feeling they have about something without taking any effort to really look into it to make sure that it's accurate, they'll hit the share button.
Or even watch the whole thing, right? You know, they just, I like the first 7 seconds. Let me send this. And it was funny.
Yeah, the headline, you know, just the headline matches what they think.
Yep.
You know, it goes back to Mark Twain's old, you know, I'll paraphrase, but it was, you know, a lie can circle the earth, you know, before the truth can put their shoes on, you know.
Yep, I think about that all the time. Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing, and so that has an effect on easily manipulated people.
Well, hopefully the answers will be revealed with all the video and audio recording. D.W. Wilbur, it has been a pleasure to have you on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors and getting your perspective on these things. Is there anything else you wanted to share? I mean, because I'll be honest with you, I was up every couple hours last night before talking to you going, okay, what am I going to ask this guy? And do you have any other thoughts that you want to offer?
Well, let me offer this. Yes, you know, I did work for the CIA, but I didn't kill Kennedy. I don't know if there's any aliens at Area 51, and I never buried anything on Oak Island.
Okay. Okay. We got to throw out there, you can find more information and connect with DW at DW Wilber. That's W-I-L-B-E-R. But you also have a great Twitter account that I really enjoyed. So follow DW Wilber on X, I guess we need to call it. I hate when companies change their name. But Adele, thank you so much. I really appreciate the time. And maybe we can talk again as things shake out on this case.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Thank you. Stick around. We've got more of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors coming up next.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. I thank you so much for listening. We encourage you to share the show, tell people about it, to bring more listeners if you agree with the Second Amendment and if you have a love for the great outdoors. This segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in DePere on Manchester Road, just a mile east of 270. It's a great store. I've been in there so many different times and I've learned so much. I learn something every time I go in there. If you're looking for a home gun store, make Razorback Armory that place, and you will get to know the staff very quickly, like you're going to get to know Jesse from Razorback here in just a moment. But head to RazorbackArmory.com for more details. This has been a wonderful summer of travel for the whole crew. Carl was fishing in Canada, our executive producer.
Pew, pew!
I went hunting with Ted Nugent up in Michigan about a month ago. Great trip. Mark right now is on a trip in Alaska doing some fishing. And so we hope he comes back with some great tales of that journey up there. First time for him fishing up in Alaska, I do believe. But every year for the last several, we've been getting in touch with Adventure 360. It's an organization that takes groups out to Montana to search for, of all things, dinosaur bones. And we have Ron Geisler. He's the director at Adventure 360 on the program again. Ron, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing fine, Bo. Thanks a lot for having me on.
And the trip was successful, yes?
It was. We had we did 3 weeks of field schools for high school and college students, a week of families come out during 4th of July, and then a week for adults. And all the weeks were successful. We got out in the field most of the days, and we found lots of fossils.
So you were in Montana for, you said, 5 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah, we're out there for 5 weeks. Actually, a little bit longer because we basically take over a motel there in Jordan, Montana. It's called the Garfield Motel. So it takes us a couple of days to set up our classroom that we call the veranda.
Yeah.
And then it takes a couple of days to tear it down.
Tell me about some of the cool things that you found. It's got to be like Christmas morning and seeing what Santa Claus brought to you, right?
That's actually how I phrased it one time on Facebook, that it's this. This is pretty much my Christmas in June.
Right.
So we get out there, we get excited. We're looking at how much rainfall they've gotten because the rain uncovers fossils for us. Then once we get out in the field, we basically start training people. We always start with adult weeks on Father's Day. It starts on Father's Day. So we take adults out. I call them closet paleontologists. That they have their own careers, but they also have always wanted to be a paleontologist.
Sure. Kids have been fans of dinosaurs since I was a kid and beyond. But this is some real dinosaur stuff. Now, do you guys always go to the same area every year, and are you expanding that area?
We always go to the same general area in Montana, up around Fort Peck Lake. If you look on a map, it's a big lake where they dammed up the Missouri River. Very productive. But we do rotate the ranches that we work with, so that we don't always hit the same places every year.
What are the tools that the people use while they're out there? I mean, I always picture brushes, you know, because you're gently and gingerly, you know, trying to expose certain things.
We have basic rock hammers and brick hammers that you can get from Lowe's. we also use a lot of like trowels and other blades for real precise work. Recently, our biggest fan of the tools, the demolition tools, the hammer jack that can take rock out in real quick.
Wow.
It would take us hours. I did it in like 20 minutes this year.
So let's get to the good stuff. What did Santa Claus bring to you this summer?
We had two excavations. We actually named them. I named one after my dog Buster, and the girl who found the other one named after Dad, Dave. So we have Dave and Buster.
Oh, nice.
And they produced really nice. Dave was part of a skull in at least the forward part of a Triceratops, really nice specimens. And then Buster was one of the prizes. It had a Triceratops horn that was around 36 inches long.
Whoa.
And that's just the horn core. The actual horn would have been a sheath over it, a keratin sheath, much like a bull horn. And that would have gone another third of the distance. So you add 36, another foot on top of it. That's how long that horn would have been on the Triceratops.
So when you find something like this, the Triceratops, for instance, you find a piece of it, how big of an area has sediment and erosion and all these things move that one animal, you know, apart from different parts of it? Is it usually generally in the same area, or is it moved around?
That's a great question. It's actually one that I do a presentation on, because it depends on the rock type. And whether the animal was actually there. If it had been scavenged, the scavengers could have moved bones.
Oh, good point.
To where they're separated, but they're still there somewhere. Or was it covered while the animal was still alive or recently dead? Quite often, if in certain rocks, you're going to find those more than one bone there together. And then there's another type of rock. It's called massive sandstone. It's that high energy flood you see on TV all the time, moving cars. Well, of course, if they pick up a skeleton, they're going to scatter that skeleton all over. Oh, so,
very good point.
Yeah, if we're looking in that kind of rock, I don't anticipate there being a lot of the same specimen there.
Well, I have to tell you that one of my excursions this year, my wife and I took a trip to the Ark Encounter, and that is in eastern Kentucky. And it was an amazing replica of Noah's Ark. And, you know, it was interesting because in that experience, they claimed that Noah had some, and most all the animals that, you know, two by two were actually smaller versions, like a bear type or a cow type or something like that. They did actually have some dinosaurs replicated within Noah's Ark, meaning the belief is from Christianity, from the Bible, that there were dinosaurs at that point before the flood. And then, of course, the flood itself, you know, made so many things extinct. What time frame are you guys thinking that you're digging in is revealed?
Well, we're right on the surface, and the rock there has been estimated to be about 67 million years old.
You're not the 6,000-year-old Earth guy, right?
No, it's right before the impact of the asteroid that basically did make the dinosaurs go extinct, except for now, birds are considered dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
So there are still living dinosaurs.
Well, look at a crocodile or an alligator. I mean, that ought to tell you something, right?
Well, they're close cousins.
Yeah, buddy.
birds are a type of theropod, a type of meat-eating dinosaur.
And did you find any bird artifacts or anything connected to certain birds?
We do find little hollow bones, much like if you ate a chicken from Kentucky Fried Chicken and then break the bone open, it would be hollow.
Right.
It's very similar. So that could be from a bird or it could be from a little raptor.
I think it's all exciting. It's Christmas in the summertime for you and for anybody that's interested in doing something like this. Of course, you do this every year. You'll be doing it in 2025. If you're a student or if you're looking for a different kind of family vacation excursion kind of thing, Adventure 360 is the point, right? We send them to that website and then they can start the process there, correct?
All the information for 2025 is already on the website. And that's adventure-360.org.
That's awesome. Ron, always good to talk to you, man. Congratulations. Can we see pictures of things that you found on social media anywhere?
Yeah, on Facebook. If you look up Adventure 360, I post on both my personal page and on the Adventure 360 page. So there's videos. I have videos where I'm walking through the Badlands and, you know, talking about different things that we see and stuff.
Well, it sounds like a successful year once again. Ron Giesler, the director of Adventure 360, adventure-360.org.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Ron. Well, thank you so much for giving us a peek at what you guys found this year out in Montana. And we will talk, heck, we're going to talk next year again. Hopefully we'll catch you out in the field, okay?
I'm looking forward to it.
It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, and that certainly qualifies for the Great Outdoors portion of the show. But we're going back to the Second Amendment when we talk to Jesse Rolfus, owner of Razorback Armory, coming up next. Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, and Mark Cox vacationing. He's fishing in Alaska. And so we'll cover some more of that when he gets back from that trip. But this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in De Pere on Manchester Road, just a mile east of 270. It's a great store. I've been in there so many different times, and I've learned so much. I learn something every time I go in there. If you're looking for a home gun store, make Razorback Armory that place, and you will get to know the staff very quickly, like you're going to get to know Jesse from Razorback here in just a moment. But head to RazorbackArmory.com for more details. You know, as I'm doing the intro, Jesse, I'm realizing you're a major fisherman. Have you ever been to Alaska to fish?
I've not been to Alaska to fish. I have an open invite from a gentleman who used to live here in Missouri, and he's a writer for was a writer for Field and Stream, and now he does shot business. He's got a guide service up there.
Fill in that invitation card, brother. Go.
I know. Well, I hope we're getting some salmon since Mark's taking off.
Yeah, you know what? And he did say he was going to be bringing it back too. So he's packed. He's doing that whole thing. But you know, it's kind of like me doing the Ted Nugent hunt a few weeks ago. You know, at some point in life, you just got to say, you know what? I got to do for me. And you and your wife both love to fish. I say, book it, baby, book it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the reason I wanted to get you on here, of course, every once in a while, we like to pop in and find out how things are going at Razorback Armory. You've always got the Glock special going. It seems like you got a good inventory of Glocks. I'm a fan. I bought my first one from you, the Glock 43X. I love this, this firearm, because it's efficient. But, tell me about the culture just in all the crazy news, including what's going on in Venezuela. And remember, you know, years ago, they banned all firearms down there, and look where they're at today. Just in this country, in this area, what are you feeling from your customers? Because when customers come in, they of course want to learn about the firearms, which one's going to be right for me. But of course you talk about so many other things and you kind of get in their head, don't you?
Yeah, we definitely try to. I mean, especially, we're seeing a lot of new gun buyers. And like when a new gun buyer comes in, if you are a new gun buyer, if you're listening to the show, don't be afraid to tell us that. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, new gun buyer, and I'm just looking, you know, I'd like to get some information. And that's, you know, really what we're here for. So we can kind of feel out your situation. Is it for the home? Is it for, you know, concealed carry? You're looking for something a little smaller to put on your person. You know, is it something you want to start getting out to the range and, you know, shooting a little more, kind of target practice and that. And we'll kind of walk you through what's available, what's going to fit well for that purpose for you, and also what fits in your hand. I mean, you know, like that 43X Glock you've got, great gun, really love it. But I've had other people grab it and say, oh, it doesn't feel comfortable in my hand. And, you know, we move them over to a SIG or a Smith & Wesson, you know, a different model, because they all have little subtlety things, you know, the ergonomics, the grip, the feel, that kind of fits another person's hand better.
The magazine capacity is also a big one, especially if you're not a good shot, right? Remember you told me that?
Yeah, just get more bullets. It's all good. But no, a lot of those little things. And if you find the right shop that's willing to talk to you about a gun and not just push a gun to you, like, oh, you need a gun. Here's a gun. Let's get you a gun. You know, let's get a gun in your hand. You know, that didn't really do you any favors. And let's try to at least have that conversation where we try to figure out what your needs are, your perceived needs. You know, you may be thinking about something that's really pertinent about it, or you may be thinking about something that really doesn't matter so much for you. Let's get you going in this direction, because that's going to fit you better.
That's right.
But I mean, at the end of the day, honestly, and this is what, you know, I think a lot more people are coming to realize that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there in the world.
You know, people are breaking into cars, people are carjacking, they're doing home invasions and different things. But you are responsible for your well-being of yourself, your family, you know, people around you. The police, you know, law enforcement, they do a great job. But when seconds count, they're minutes away, right? You know, they're not in your pocket. You don't have a police officer, you know, working security for you at all times. So you do have to be your own security until they can get there. And taking that next step, if it's buying a firearm, you know, or just kind of, you know, researching or doing that. If you ever need any help or anybody needs anything, they can always come by and we'll talk to them about it.
Yeah, just shake it out. It's kind of like when you go to buy a vehicle. Yeah, you can go on a Chevy lot and you could get a, you know, the Chevy Chart, you know, that's going to get you great gas mileage. But the salesman might want to lead you down the road to a Chevy Corvette that maybe you have no business getting behind the wheel of. And often people say when it comes to home defense that the pistol is, you know, in your nightstand, locked up, hopefully safely, is the thing that's going to get you to your shotgun, because the shotgun is really, in a lot of, you know, perspectives, is the best home defense weapon. Would you agree with that?
The best option is the option that that person is comfortable with. You know, if a shotgun's a great gun because you don't have to be a marksman. You're not pinpoint accuracy. It's a very devastating weapon, but it's a very devastating if you know how to deploy it, if you know how to operate it. If it is too confusing, or if it upset anxiety level of the person using it so much that they won't use it, wasn't a good choice for them. You know, but we have to find the weapon that they're going to feel comfortable using. I mean, it's going to be a horrible situation. It's going to be a stress filled, anxiety filled situation. But if you're training, if you do take that, you know, you do have to purchase the weapon, but you have to train with it and learn how to use it so that you're not more of a danger to yourself or your loved ones. You know, you want to deter the threat. You want to stop the threat towards you or your family.
Now that Kamala Harris is running for president, a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about. She wants to pass red flag laws on a federal level. Would you agree that's really dangerous?
Yes. Red flag laws are a bad idea. Okay. We've got excellent gun laws on the books. The problem is a lot of times they're not followed through with and they're not enforced. I'm a fan of background checks. Okay. I think that people who shouldn't have firearms shouldn't be get access.
That's right. That's right.
And we have a system for that. If you are a danger to yourself, if those things fall into place, there's already mechanisms to make sure that you don't have firearms.
How is that different than the background checks that you do when you fill out the 22, what is it, 2214?
4473.
Let's go with 4473 this time. Okay.
Yeah, let's use 4374, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
When they say universal background checks and they really pound on this, and like I said, some of the new gun owners that come in, some people come in, never owned a gun, not really into guns. When I put that tablet, because we're all digital now, it used to be paper, but now I put a tablet in front of them and they have to start filling that out. They're like, well, what is this? Right. Why do you want this information on me? I'm like, no, this is what we go through to buy a gun. We have to check your background. We have to make sure it's a legal purchase for you and all this stuff. They want to push that a lot further, but they also want to bring in, which is a HIPAA violation, some mental health issues. And it's not a mental health issue that a doctor has certified you as this. They want to look at medical records. Now, the doctor prescribed it and you're on it and you're okay, that's fine. Now, if you had horrible issues and they're trying to fix something, you know, but that's between you and your doctor. That should never go to the government. It's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, it's going to have a lot of ramifications on, I mean, my industry, obviously, but, you know, financially, what people are, you know, for their jobs, 401ks. I mean, this is a big issue. Hopefully we get it right.
Yeah, it really is. Especially if you haven't Googled the Venezuela debacle going on down there. It's horrifying. You should, you know, brush up on that. Go to YouTube and watch some videos because that country lost the right to bear arms several years ago. Now, I mean, in the 2000s, I believe it was. And look where they're at now. You know what? There's so much I want to talk to you about. You know what? I'll come into Razorback Armory and we can talk about the assassination attempt face to face. And, you know, maybe sure. At some point, you know, because we really don't have any more answers that are out there. There's too many. But the good thing is, I will tell you this, Jess, is there are videos that keep emerging from people's phones because everybody's got a phone. I mean, when something goes down, everybody whips their phone out. I think more and more of that's going to help, hopefully, give us some answers, if not the truth. I don't want to wait, you know, like since JFK to get answers because we still don't have answers on that deal.
Yeah, 50 years later, and we're still wondering what's going on. Hopefully the truth will come out, or, you know, not their version of the truth or what they want you to see, but the actual what happened. And it looks like it was, that could have definitely been a an attempt to, you know, obscure and take democracy away from, you know, what. Take somebody we may want to elect off the board.
Had they been successful, I just don't know where we would be right now, and that's frightening in itself.
Yes,
but
it is.
Jesse Rolfus, thank you so much. RazorbackArmory.com, and head into the store and depair and go see them. You're going to love the store, and it's way better than just you know, buying something off the shelf and walking out, because you're going to get the knowledge base, you're going to get all you need, and they also have these firearm safes as well. And if they don't have what you need, they can certainly get it. Keep arming America, Jesse. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem, Bo. Have a great one.
All right, that looks like a show, and I encourage you to share the show with people that are like-minded, that support the Second Amendment, that love this country, and love the great outdoors. We'll be back next week when Mark Cox returns from his Alaskan fishing excursion. It's the first time he's done it, I believe, and so he was very excited to go, and I've seen no evidence, no pictures, no proof of life, but I'm sure he's fine and having a great time. We'll hear all about that trip next weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you for listening. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Up next, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews, and Mark Cox vacationing. He's fishing in Alaska. And so we'll cover some more of that when he gets back from that trip. But this segment is brought to you by Razorback Armory. They are in DePere on Manchester Road, just a mile east of 270. It's a great store. I've been in there so many different times, and I've learned so much. I learn something every time I go in there. If you're looking for a home gun store, make Razorback Armory that place, and you will get to know the staff very quickly, like you're going to get to know Jesse from Razorback here in just a moment. But head to RazorbackArmory.com for more details. You know, as I'm doing the intro, Jesse, I'm realizing you're a major fisherman. Have you ever been to Alaska to fish?
I've not been to Alaska to fish. I have an open invite from a gentleman who used to live here in Missouri, and he's a writer for was a writer for Field and Stream, and now he does shot business. He's got a guide service up there.
Fill in that invitation card, brother. Go.
I know. Well, I hope we're getting some salmon since Mark's taking off.
Yeah, you know what? And he did say he was going to be bringing it back too. So he's packaging. He's doing that whole thing. But you know, it's kind of like me doing the Ted Nugent hunt a few weeks ago. You know, at some point in life, you just got to say, you know what? I got to do for me. And you and your wife both love to fish. I say, book it, baby, book it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the reason I wanted to get you on here, of course, every once in a while, we like to pop in and find out how things are going at Razorback Armory. You've always got the Glock special going. It seems like you got a good inventory of Glocks. I'm a fan. I bought my first one from you, the Glock 43X. I love this this firearm because it's efficient. But tell me about the culture, just in all the crazy news, including what's going on in Venezuela. And remember, you know, years ago they banned all firearms down there, and look where they're at today. Just in this country, in this area, what are you feeling from your customers? Because when customers come in, they of course want to learn about the firearms, which one's going to be right for me. But of course, you talk about so many other things, and you kind of get in their head, don't you?
Yeah, we definitely try to. I mean, especially we're seeing a lot of new gun buyers, and like when a new gun buyer comes in, if you are a new gun buyer, if you're listening to the show, don't be afraid to tell us that. Don't be afraid to say, hey, you know, new gun buyer, and I'm just looking, you know, I'd like to get some information. And that's, you know, really what we're here for. So we can kind of feel out your situation. Let, you know, is it for the home? Is it for, you know, concealed carry? You're looking for something a little smaller to put on your person. You know, is it something you want to start getting out to the range and, you know, shooting a little more, kind of target practice and that. And we'll kind of walk you through what's available, what's going to fit well for your, that purpose for you, and also what fits in your hand. I mean, you know, like that 43X Glock, you've got great gun, really love it. But I've had other people grabbing and say, oh, it doesn't feel comfortable in my hand. And, you know, we move them over to a SIG or a Smith & Wesson, you know, a different model, because they all have little subtlety things, you know, the ergonomics, the grip, the feel, that kind of fits another person's hand better.
The magazine capacity is also a big one, especially if you're not a good shot, right? Remember you told me that?
Yeah, just get more bullets. It's all good. But no, a lot of those little things. And if you find the right shop that's willing to talk to you about a gun and not just push a gun to you, like, oh, you need a gun. Here's a gun. Let's get you a gun. You know, let's get a gun in your hand. You know, that didn't really do you any favors. And let's try to at least have that conversation where we try to figure out what your perceived needs. You know, you may be thinking about something that's really pertinent about it, or you may be thinking about something that really doesn't matter so much for you. Let's get you going in this direction, because that's going to fit you better.
That's right.
But I mean, at the end of the day, honestly, and this is what, you know, I think a lot more people are coming to realize that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of bad stuff going on out there in the world. You know, people are breaking into cars, people are carjacking, they're doing home invasions and different things. But you are responsible for your well-being of yourself, your family, you know, people around you. The police, you know, and law enforcement, they do a great job, but when seconds count, they're minutes away, right? You know, they're not in your pocket. You don't have a police officer, you know, working security for you at all times. So you do have to be your own security until they can get there. And taking that next step, if it's buying a firearm, you know, or just kind of, you know, researching or doing that, if you ever need any help or anybody needs anything, they can always come by and we'll talk to them about it.
Yeah, just shake it out. It's kind of like when you go to buy a vehicle. Yeah, you can go on a Chevy lot and you could get a, you know, the Chevy Shark, you know, that's going to get you great gas mileage. But the salesman might want to lead you down the road to a Chevy Corvette that maybe you have no business getting behind the wheel of. And often people say when it comes to home defense that the pistol is, you know, in your nightstand, locked up, hopefully safely, is the thing that's going to get you to your shotgun, because the shotgun is really, in a lot of, you know, perspectives, is the best home defense weapon. Would you agree with that?
The best option is the option that that person is comfortable with. You know, if a shotgun's a great gun, because you don't have to be a marksman. You're not pinpoint accuracy. It's a very devastating weapon, but it's a very devastating one if you know how to deploy it, if you know how to operate it. If it is too confusing, or if it ups that anxiety level of the person using it so much that they won't use it, wasn't a good choice for them. You know, but we have to find the weapon that they're going to feel comfortable using. I mean, it's going to be a horrible situation. It's going to be a stress filled, anxiety filled situation. But if you're training, if you do take that, you know, you do have to purchase the weapon, but you have to train with it and learn how to use it so that you're not more of a danger to yourself or your loved ones. You know, you want to deter the threat. You want to stop the threat towards you or your family.
Now that Kamala Harris is running for president, a couple of things that I wanted to ask you about. She wants to pass red flag laws on a federal level. Would you agree that's really dangerous?
Yes. Red flag laws are a bad idea. Okay. We've got excellent gun laws on the books. The problem is a lot of times they're not followed through with and they're not enforced. I'm a fan of background checks. Okay. I think that people who shouldn't have firearms shouldn't be get access.
That's right. That's right.
And we have a system for that. If you are a danger to yourself, if those things fall into place, there's already mechanisms to make sure that you don't have firearms.
How is that different than the background checks that you do when you fill out the 22, what is it, 2214?
4473.
Let's go with 4473 this time. Okay.
Yeah, let's use 4374, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
When they say universal background checks and they really pound on this, and like I said, some of the new gun owners that come in, some people come in, never owned a gun, not really into guns. When I put that tablet, because we're all digital now, it used to be paper, but now I put a tablet in front of them and they have to start filling that out. They're like, well, what is this? Right. Why do you want this information on me? I'm like, no, this is what we go through to buy a gun. We have to check your background. We have to make sure it's a legal purchase for you and all this stuff. They want to push that a lot further, but they also want to bring in, which is a HIPAA violation, some mental health issues. And it's not a mental health issue that a doctor has certified you as this, they want to look at medical records. Now, the doctor prescribed it and you're on it and you're okay, that's fine. Now, if you had horrible issues and they're trying to fix something, you know, but that's between you and your doctor. That should never go to the government. It's going to be interesting. Unfortunately, it's going to have a lot of ramifications on, I mean, my industry, obviously, but, you know, financially, what people are, you know, for their jobs, 401ks. I mean, this is a big issue. Hopefully we get it right.
Yeah, it really is. Especially if you haven't Googled the Venezuela debacle going on down there. It's horrifying. You should, you know, brush up on that. Go to YouTube and watch some videos because that country lost the right to bear arms several years ago. Now, I mean, in the 2000s, I believe it was. And look where they're at now. You know what? There's so much I want to talk to you about. You know what? I'll come into Razorback Armory and we can talk about the assassination attempt face to face. And, you know, maybe at some point, you know, because we really don't have any more answers that are out there. There's too many. But the good thing is, I will tell you this, Jess, is there are videos that keep emerging from people's phones because everybody's got a phone. I mean, when something goes down, everybody whips their phone out. I think more and more of that's going to help, hopefully, give us some answers, if not the truth. I don't want to wait, you know, like since JFK to get answers because we still don't have answers on that deal.
Yeah, 50 years later, and we're still wondering what's going on. it'll hopefully the truth will come out, or, you know, not their version of the truth or what they want you to see, but the actual what happened. And it looks like it was, could have definitely been a an attempt to, you know, obscure and take democracy away from, you know, what take somebody we may want to elect off the board.
Had they been successful, I just don't know where we would be right now. And that's frightening in itself.
Yes,
but
it is.
Jesse Rolfus, thank you so much. RazorbackArmory.com and head into the store and DePere and go see him. You're going to love the store, and it's way better than just you know, buying something off the shelf and walking out, because you're going to get the knowledge base. You're going to get all you need. And they also have these firearm safes as well. And if they don't have what you need, they can certainly get it. Keep arming America, Jesse. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem, Bo. Have a great one.
All right, that looks like a show, and I encourage you to share the show with people that are like-minded, that support the Second Amendment, that love this country, and love the great outdoors. We'll be back next week when Mark Cox returns from his Alaskan fishing excursion. It's the first time he's done it, I believe, and so he was very excited to go, and I've seen no evidence, no pictures, no proof of life, but I'm sure he's fine and having a great time. We'll hear all about that trip next weekend on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews. Have a great rest of your weekend, and thank you for listening. See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.